Hare Krishna. I want to warmly welcome all of you here under the trees where the Govardhan retreat started. I still remember very much this tree. And this tree, you may see in the cut-off branch, there is a hole. That's where a first-class apartment for parrots is. Please just see around the beautiful trees, especially these high-reaching trees. And then Giriraj. Really, to hear about Krishna in such an environment is very conducive to develop attachment to Krishna. So I would like to continue, and we will have two exercises in which I want to announce them, because you will have to, I request you to take part in it wholeheartedly. The first exercise will show you a little bit where you might stand now in your relationship with Krishna. And the second exercise will help you to establish a better relationship with Krishna. So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Dhyabhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The whole of Krishna comes alive for the sadhaka when he approaches Krishna with a sense of myness, my Krishna. Isn't this how we feel? If this thermos bottle would belong to one of you in the distance, Vrajendra Nandan, maybe, I would not have any claim on the water inside. But the moment I feel this is my thermos bottle, I will have a claim on the water. I will pour it and I will experience the soothing quality of the water. The feeling of myness, in Sanskrit mamatva, is that which immediately bridges over the distance between you and God. If you understand it's my Lord, if you understand this is my relationship with Krishna, not someone else's God, not someone else's relationship, your Lord, and your relationship. We will hear more about this, but just to understand the theoretical basis, is this clear to you? Something, when I say my handy, if I have my handy, or my mobile telephone, then you immediately know. You even have a fingerprint nowadays, which the mobile telephone recognizes, and all of a sudden, all the addresses, all the apps, all the, you know, the flying capability of the mobile telephone, whatever, is within your reach. If it is not, if it's the mobile phone of someone else, nowadays there are these fingerprint mobile telephones, you won't be able to utilize it. So, when the gopis had seen the golden chariot parked outside, they had thought this is one of the chariots of the government of Kamsa. And they had been scornful. They had been, one of these chariots had taken their Krishna away from them. But when they saw only moments later an enigmatic personality stepping into their view, they were totally overwhelmed. Shukadev Goswami says the young women of Braj became absolutely astonished to see Krishna's servant, because he had very long arms that reached to his knees. If you see Sharad Purnima, he has longer arms than Gaur Krishna, I've calculated. But I don't think they reach to the knees, isn't it? Sharad Purnima, not yet. But if you see someone whose arms reaching to the knees, you go, wow, this is a special person with special looks. But that was not enough. There was these large eyes in Uddhava that looked like blossomed lotus flowers. They actually, sometimes we hear, they reach to the ears. Have you ever seen eyes that reach to the ears? This is really not seen. Maybe in Tibetan people, they have long eyes, but they are not so beautiful. They are slitted. They saw these eyes that resembled newly grown lotuses. Uddhava wore a yellow garment and was carrying a flower garland with these type of flowers, lotus flowers, that was very large. And especially when they saw the wind touching the garment of Uddhava and moving it a little so that it looked like a lightning flash, they thought, this is Krishna who has returned. Then they looked closer, even closer, and they saw the special feature of Krishna's face. There are few special features in Krishna's face. One is he has these earrings which move and which shine on his cheeks and move in such a way that patterns of light are created on Krishna's cheeks. That's why Krishna's cheeks look very brilliant. So the gopis asked, who is he? Such a handsome man? Where has he come from? It can't be our Krishna. We don't feel the same. But maybe he serves Krishna. For sure he is wearing Krishna's cloths and ornaments. Do you still remember why Uddhava always wears Krishna's cloth and ornaments? Yes. It's part of his program to conquer Maya. So being very innocent and thinking this person who resembles so much our Krishna cannot have anything bad in his heart, they eagerly crowded around Uddhavaji. And it took them only moments to digest the pain that this is not Krishna. And then all the pain which they had maybe swallowed burst out like the lava which comes out of a volcano. And they talked. They accused Krishna. It is very natural for people to be attached to their family members. That's why Krishna went to Vasudeva and Devaki. All other people are just used if they are not part of one's family. Then they gave examples of how they felt betrayed by Krishna, used by Krishna, and given up by Krishna. They gave example of various animals and people. For instance, they said, the bee stays with the flower only as long as there's something to enjoy. In the same way, Krishna stayed with us only to enjoy us. Then they gave a human example. Prostitute. Well, they say so many nice words to the man. Oh, you are the most handsome man with the most delicately formed nose. But the moment they have sold their love and taken money, they leave that man and go somewhere else. In the same way, Krishna, you have enjoyed us. The moment you got what you wanted, you left us. Guests give up the guest house or the restaurants when they have eaten. They break all connection. The animals run out of the forest, which is burnt down. The same way we have been burnt down. The fire of separation has totally consumed us. And you have left us. You left us. You left us. You did not care even this much for those who loved you so much. That is who you really are, Krishna. He enjoyed us and went to his family in Mathura and just gave us up. And then they began to cry. They cried. And all those tears which they cried sprinkled the trees around them. It was so many tears which started to get life back, because in the name of cursing Krishna or reproaching Krishna, they only exhibited one thing: how much they really loved Krishna. It's an indirect way. Someone who doesn't and who never complains to you, you are not good. Someone who never raises his voice and says, you have hurt. He doesn't care for you. You're not important enough to him to that he takes serious what you do. He has nothing to do with you. The gopis just showed in another way, an indirect way, the tremendous love for Krishna. And Uddhava was trembling. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has informed us, my dear devotees, Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargena ya kalpita. The most pleasing form of worshipping Krishna is the way of the gopis, how they loved Krishna. Because there is this one ingredient in the love which we also will have to develop if we are ever willing to rise from our fallen condition and become lovers of Krishna. It's this mamata, a strong feeling of possessiveness or minus. Srila Rupa Goswami describes this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.1-2. Can I please read the Sanskrit to you and then the English?
Yes.
Thank you. Samyan mashrinata svanto mamatvati shayankita bhava sa eva sadratma buddha prema nigatyate ananya mamata vishno mamata prema sangata bhakti idyuchyate bhishma pralado davanarada. When the feelings become condensed, and extremely condensed, it is called prema, love, by the learned. What is this love doing? It softens the heart completely and produces extreme possessiveness of the Lord in the experiencer. And should I tell it in simple English?
Yes.
You know that the sign of love is of Krishna. It softens the heart, and it produces this feeling, my Krishna. Now, Rupa Goswami, because this is a key point in our Krishna conscious love school, you could say. He has to prove it by authority. Love of Godhead is defined by Bhishma, Prahlada, Uddhava, you know, because he saw that in the gopis, and Narada, as that feeling which has a type of possessiveness related to Vishnu or any other form of the Lord, and to no one else. So even at the beginning stages of your spiritual life, there must be a dosis of feelings that this is my Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an interesting psychological explanation. He says, for a housewife seeing her husband or sons, even though they may be without any single good quality, the husband has no single good quality, the sons are rascals, but still seeing them gives more happiness than seeing the moon, which gives great bliss and destroys all suffering. Why? Why does a simple housewife feel great happiness when she sees her husband who suffers from flat feet and an embarrassing smell from the mouth? More happiness is felt by her than seeing the moon who soothes the mind and who gives great happiness? The reason is that the housewife feels this woman is mine. I just saw an example of this. A husband going to his wife, feeling, and the wife seeing the husband with a happy expression. Because there is the feeling of, this is mine. Speaking on a very simple psychological level, Prabhupada had said, ownership turns sand into gold. What he meant is, when someone feels, I own this land, it may be barren, sandy land, full of sand, he thinks, wow, my land, it's a very good land. Can you see how this feeling of myness immediately creates a relationship which is immediately there? Can you understand this point? It is so important if you want to understand, if you ever want to understand everything you got. Raghunath Goswami says, my Guru Maharaj is to be glorified because he gave me the holy name. It became my holy name, my Diksha mantras, my relationship to the land of Braj, and my, what was it? My hope, my divine prospect to one day have Radha and Madhava. This feeling is very important. Now let us leave for a moment the other gopis who had complained about Krishna, like we have heard, and go to the supreme gopi, Srimati Radharani, who had been on the high, meditating on Krishna, and was on this high level of trance. When she saw a black bee coming before her, she immediately thought of Krishna. Can anyone guess why? Why, if you see the bee, do you remember Krishna? We think of a mosquito repellent when we see a bee. Black color, same like Krishna. And yellow, he's yellowish. Because who has a yellow dhoti? You know everything. So, does this remind you of a similar incident you had heard earlier? Uddhava. What did Uddhava do? When he felt so much separation from Krishna that he couldn't tolerate it, he took a boat from Dwaraka to the mainland, climbed the Raivata mountain, because there on the mountain tip the black clouds assembled, and paid his obeisances to the clouds, being in the Krishna Bhava. This is called Bhava. This is called feeling. This is called, in Radharani's case, we will hear about this a little later when Krishna talks about this and analyzes this. This is the bewilderment of love. Let us listen to the nectarian words of Radha. Oh honeybee, oh friend of a cheetah, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkum that rubbed on Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breast of a rival lover. Radharani, thinking, oh, Krishna is so chanchal, he must have gone to another lady in Mathura. He had his garland on and he embraced her, and then he got the stains of kumkum. And she also began to blaspheme Krishna. We have heard from our elders, our pandits, our pandas, that Krishna was always a cheater and never reliable. We have heard that as Rama, he killed Bali, but from behind. And he was always a woman hater. He once cut off the nose and ears of a lady who approached him just because of his attachment to Sita. And he took on the form of a dwarf to cheat the great king Bali by asking him apparently for 3 steps of land and then taking everything, including the whole world, from him. Afterwards, he was so impudent as to tie this Bali up like one would do to a thief. Krishna should also have been tied up. Though when Radharani saw that the bee was flying away, she was very disturbed. She feared, maybe I've talked too heavy. Oh, please, dear bee, come back now. What have I done? What have I done? So you can see, totally absorbed in Krishna. Now, later, Lord Krishna explained Uddhava the type of this absorption. You know, yogis who have understood that the mind is the cause of all sufferings, they are closing their senses and still the mind through the process of meditation with one goal only. The whole yoga process is meant to reach a meditative absorption called samadhi. When Bhurijan Prabhu advised us to meditate on our Gayatri mantras, when we will in a moment start to meditate on Krishna, my dear devotees, please know this is our way how to still the mind. We make it still by taking it from all material objects away, like rivers who flow away from everything, and we flow into the great ocean of Krishna, where our minds become very, very peaceful, like the rivers who enter the ocean. So Krishna talks to Uddhava about Vaishnav Samadhi, no, devotee Samadhi. And you will know this is what one day should happen in our spiritual life, if it is a healthy spiritual life. My dear Uddhava, listen. Just as great sages in yoga trance merge into self-realization, like the rivers which merge into the ocean, and just like these yogis are no longer aware of material names and forms, similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan were so completely attached to me within their minds that they could not think of their own bodies or of this world or of their future lives even. Their entire consciousness was simply bound up in me. In Varanasi, I had once seen a yogi doing this. He lived on a boat on the Ganga, very peaceful. But for his meditation practice, he went on a busy street crossing in central Varanasi. The cars were honking around him, exhaustion, fumes. He became black, his white beard was black from the exhaustion fumes. And you know how noisy Indian streets are and how absolutely chaotic street crossings are. And through a dolmetscher, I asked him, Oh, Yogi Maharaj, I have seen you at the Ganga in your houseboat. But you meditate. There's a better place for meditation. Why do you meditate here? And he said, oh, you Hare Krishna Hare Ram. I want to I want to come in Samadhi, and I want to lose my materials, my reaction to material form, sound, and anything. This I'm practicing here to see if I'm already in Samadhi. And it, I said, does it work for you? He said, oh, you Hare Krishna Hare Ram, it's quite difficult, but trying. He was a good man. This is what works for a devotee. He does not merge into Brahman like most of the yogis, you know, nothingness. His mind will become busy with the supreme somethingness that is Krishna. What a wonderful example Krishna uses. Rivers, which are no longer identified with their names. When the river Nile flows into the ocean, you don't call it Nile any longer. When the river Elbe flows into the northern sea, it's no longer Elbe. So the gopis also have given up all their understanding of who they are, their families, their everything. They only identify as Krishna. But there is one difference that makes all the difference. Brahman is never attached to the sages who try to meditate about them. But Param Brahman, Sri Krishna, is attached to the devotees and comes under the control of the devotees. This is because, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because he sees the feeling of minus in the devotees. He looks for that quality, that fragrance in the consciousness, where the devotee feels, but Krishna, you are my Lord. Where are you? You have not chosen, you have chosen to give your mercy to so many, but not yet to me. When Krishna hears how a devotee addresses him with that, my Lord, my Lord, then Krishna's heart melts. His Holiness Indra Dumna Maharaj remembers how Prabhupada spoke to him and said, when you chant, you should chant in the feeling, my dear friend, my dear friend, minus, mamata, some feeling of, you can, if you like other words, you can say a relationship. Is there a divine relationship? So, I want to now invite you to a serious exercise. I know some of you, when their exercise time, go on to the mobile telephone and check the mobile telephones. I have been in Bhujang. I have been in classes, and I come from the back and see what you do, because then I know what you do during my classes, and I know what to say. No, this is not a good place and a good time to do this. I would like you now to turn to a neighbor and discuss a serious question. Ladies, please turn to find a lady neighbor. The men, please find another man. And everyone, please take part in this exercise, because it will prepare you for your meditation on Krishna, which comes a little later. Okay, so I will not give you the task now. I will just ask you to find a neighbor. Sharad Purnim, you go with Gaur Krishna. Hare Krishna Govardhan Gopal. Hare Bo. Who has not yet found a neighbor? Please raise your hand, and while you do this, look around for another lonely soul. Anyone found a neighbor? No, this devotee has not yet found a neighbor. You can also join a group of three. No problem. No problem. Or you can go to Govardhan Gopal. Partner A goes first, no? So here comes the question which I sincerely wish you to explore. What is Krishna for you after all these years? My Krishna. What is he? Is it a distant entity? A person whose name you see in the books? Is there something more? Who, after all these years, is your Krishna for you? You have to be honest, unfortunately, because you're sitting under conscious desire trees. You can't cheat anyone here. You need to... We don't want philosophical answers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, very bliss, what Sachidananda... For you. Because that is where your journey of love will start. In Sambandha. Sambandha means the knowledge of relationship. Please start now. But maybe you want to think a little bit about it. Madhumati looks like, oh, this is something to think about. Should we maybe have a very short kirtan? A heart-opening kirtan we will have. Yes. Kirtan. Yes. So, Go Krishna, what is the heart-opening melody which we know? Please don't laugh like little girls or little boys. This is very serious. After all these years, you will now share... Who is Krishna for you? Your Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Prabhupada has informed us that this Maha Mantra is an address. It is not talking about Krishna, in other words. It is not about Krishna, but it's talking to Krishna or singing to Krishna, addressing Krishna. It therefore has a specific Sanskrit case, I believe, dative or whatever it's. So, what? Vocative. So as you sing, You are only moments away from your examination after this year's is Krishna for you. So address Krishna as you sing, and it might become clearer to you as you sing, not about him, but to him. Please sing now. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Very good, very good. One more time, please. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Time, everybody, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, my dear devotees. Thank you so very much for being so open, really, and for opening also your consciousness in major ways, thus becoming a little bit visible, if not vulnerable. And all the walls go down. What is inside is really our devotional understanding. Often the walls go down when there are external miseries, illnesses, misunderstandings, some pain. And then we all know we have a relationship for Krishna because we pray or we turn to Him. But then again the walls go up and we can't access it. I request you now to try to access whatever is there. There is a lot in everyone, but the access road may be blocked at times. So try to go deep and say, who is Krishna? After all, you left so many things to become Krishna conscious. So you must feel something. Please now turn to your neighbors in the, how do we say, in the pairs, you know, which were formed earlier. And the question you please share on is, who is Krishna after all these years for you? My Krishna. Share that. Please start now. We will have about, oh, not so many minutes. 8 minutes for this. I know it's little. So try to be productive. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, really, and from my right side, there was a very good comment. We need more time for this. Who feels we need more time for this? We may need a lifetime for this. My dear devotees, I would like to give you a little tip from Jiva Goswami, which has really impacted my life when I heard it. We all know from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna becomes known by what?
Devotional service.
Bhakti, devotional service. Yes, by devotional service. So Jiva Goswami has something to say on this point. He says, when you do devotional service, and at the end of what you have done, you somehow offer some to Krishna. Let us say you are a collector, you want to help build a temple, and so you collect and you give afterwards the Lakshmi, or you are a cook, you cook, and at the end when the meal is ready you give to Krishna. That's he doesn't really call that bhakti. It's pure bhakti. But he says, when you do your service and in the beginning think, this is for you, Krishna. Just this little step will set you on the road of my Krishna, you know. Do you understand this? It is so simple, but it is so very effective. You sit down, for instance, to lecture. And you can say, my dear Lord, I'm going to do this as a service for you to help the devotees. It's something, you have a whole different mood and you feel Krishna's presence. I'm talking now from personal experience. Or you do anything. I can only give examples from the life of a preacher, which is my service, has been given to me by Srila Prabhupada. But in any type of service, you think, before you actually do it, before you cook, my dear Lord, khichdi needs to be cooked. This is the khichdi which I want to offer for you. Then somehow you begin to feel closeness. somehow it happens because you have the feeling of mamata in there, in a, whatever dose you are presently able to have it. And Krishna reciprocates because, you know, Krishna can only be known or revealed if he chooses to be known by you and reveals himself. And he has this weak spot. Weak spot is not the word. The soft spot, I wanted to say, in his heart, that when he sees a devotee doing seva, it is amazing. Again, I can really only talk. I remember sometimes we have these excruciating preaching tours. You know, excruciating means we have sometimes been preaching on one day in three countries. You know, morning here, midday there, and I remember morning in the Black Sea, midday in Berlin, a lecture, and evening in London. That you know, is typical, because the dates can't be put in a different way, in a more sane way. But so if you get up in the Black Sea, I'd say, wow, this will be a mega day. But my dear Lord, I'm offering this to you. I'm doing it on the order of my spiritual master, and I'm offering it to you. Krishna somehow reciprocates, and you become a very blissful Krishna consciousness. So offer your service before, not after, before you do them to Krishna, and there will be a very good effect, a very good thing. So, so Uddhava listened to the gopis and could understand how dear they must be to Krishna. So when they were finished, he felt, okay, now I'm going to please the gopis. I'm the disciple of Brihaspati. I'm the messenger of their beloved. I will tell them now something, and they will, I think, I will really rise in the estimation of the gopis as I tell them. So he said, do you know this when you have good news to bring? How nice you feel? And how important you feel? Huh? So he said, my dear good ladies, now please hear your beloved's message to you, which I, the confidential servant of my master, have come to bring you. Then he read the message out. You know, Krishna had talked, had dictated this message, and Uddhava had written it. So it was on a scroll, paper, or maybe on a leaf, I don't know, maybe on a palm leaf. So, the Supreme Lord said this to you. Oh, gopis, you are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every created thing, so in the same way I'm present within everyone's mind, life, air, and senses, and also within the physical elements, and also within the modes of nature. The message was, my dear gopis, I'm always with you. Uddhava was totally unprepared when he saw the reaction of the gopis. He thought they would be very happy and worship him. But the gopis were very angry when they heard this. They said, you have brought this burden of Brahma Gyan this far? But who will buy it here in Braj? Now listen, you great fool, just listen. This knowledge about the Brahman was learned by Krishna from Sandipani Muni. It may be medicine which can cure the great fever of material existence, certainly, but can it cure the grave disease of Krishna Prema? Let Krishna drink it. He can extinguish his fever, but we pray that our great fever of Prema will remain with us for 100 births. We want to long for Krishna. We want to love Krishna. We want to talk to Krishna. We want to see his loving glances and his enchanting smile. We want to hear the words where he promised so many things to us. Not this, I'm with you, Brahman, all-pervading. Jiva Goswami said that Uddhava repeated the message a second time and then a third time, and the gopis entered a second meaning and a third meaning in Krishna's words. But in the actual, I will just stay now with the text to bring out a particular point. Then Uddhava said, okay, maybe this doesn't work. So he said, I've brought you another message. Listen, listen, listen. Don't shut your ears. Listen. Krishna also said, the actual reason why I, the beloved object of your sight, have stayed far away from you is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. What Krishna wanted to say is, because I'm situated now far away from you, who are so attracted to me, my desire is to increase your meditation of me. Because by that meditation, your mind will be drawn to me. Therefore, now I'm very close to your minds. And he gave an example. You will understand, you married men, or you, let us say, brahmacharis for a week. Not brahmacharis for a week, but brahmacharis for 4 years will also understand. When her lover is far away, a woman thinks of him more than when he is present before her. This is also true for everyone. Men also think of their absent wives more than of their present wives, I heard. Because this verse, no, don't, please, this is a very serious discussion. It's not for entertainment. Please listen. This verse talks about the greater importance of feelings of love than just mere seeing. You know, when you see someone with or something without feelings, there is no, this English language, appropriation. You know, you don't own the thing. So this is, and then finally Krishna's message was, and here the gopis were softened in their heart somewhat. Because your minds are totally absorbed in me, you will certainly soon see me again in your presence. And then he gave a concluding example. He talked of the gopis who could not join him for the rasa dance because they were detained by their husbands. At first, they were locked up in the house, but they sat then down, these gopis, they sat down, meditated about him, and some went in meditation and joined Krishna in some in the meditation. No? So this absorption is very important. It may be a very striking point for your life. Seeing with the eyes is not as important as feeling with the heart. Seeing with the eyes can be something which is totally neutral. You stand before the deities, and if someone asks you, can you tell me the color of the turban of Krishna? What? No, Prabhu, I don't look like this. But seeing with the heart and seeing with some feeling of my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, that goes very deep. I would like to do something now. I want you to ask all to meditate about Krishna here in the sacred valley of Giriraj and see what comes. Wouldn't that be nice? A meditation brings us very close, and this is what Krishna's instruction to the gopis are. I would like to say something about meditation in Krishna consciousness. I have made a research, Prabhupada speaks very often about it, and Jiva Goswami has differentiated five different types of meditations, of which we will do the first type. Yeah, Jiva Goswami calls the first stage of meditation Smaranam, or occasional remembrance of the Lord in one way or another. This is what we are going to do now. The occasion is, what do we have today? The third day of the Govardhana retreat. We are in, the occasion is the under the desire trees, and we will in some way or another, according to our present capability and our present relationship to Krishna, try to meditate about him. Is this a good idea? Now, you are silent now because you're afraid of this, or it is easy, something will come, don't worry. You are all wonderful devotees. No. I will do something which, as a person who teaches meditation, I have seen works very well. It will first bring us a little bit out of the tense mind. ISKCON devotees are very often very active in the mind. It will bring us to another place, and then meditation will be very easy for you. We will just chant a name of Krishna, Ram, you know, as in the Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. I will chant one time alone, and then we will chant, let's see if three times are enough for us. Absorb the sound. Inhale now. Some of you are not. I'm sorry. Some of you are not yet participating. You're not relaxing your mind. You're still thinking. That is, at this moment, we want to absorb our mind in the sound vibration. Please inhale. We need another three times. Ah. Inhale, please. Totally absorb yourself. Remain sitting. Straighten your back. And as you sit upright, relax your muscles and your mind. Breathe deeply and relaxed into your belly. You can touch your belly with your left hand to check that it expands on each inhale. Really deep breaths. And check if it contracts towards the spine when you exhale. Deep, relaxing, wholesome breaths. Shift your focus now from the breath to the heart. The heart area, and direct your inhale into this area. Whenever you inhale, imagine you're breathing into this area and you're widening, becoming vaster, more and more unconcerned about your daily concerns. Now we are ready for our meditation. Say to yourself, mentally, I let everything in my life slowly and gently disappear. My relationships, projects, plans, and whatever it is that occupies my mind at this stage of my life, for only some time, let all this completely slip away. I'm now absolutely by myself. I'm on my own. I'm sitting here at this sacred place, the Govardhan, and I have time to be on my own. I have no memories, no thoughts of my life, just me and my breath absolutely safe, absolutely present to whatever will come now. Again, I bring my attention to my heart space. That is where I, the eternal spiritual soul, part of the Supreme, servant of Radha and Krishna, am situated. It is only due to some misfortune that I have been absent from that relationship and instead been wandering the world in the repeated cycle of birth and death, helplessly. I have identified with one material body after another, one dream life after another. But now my fortune has turned. I met Srila Prabhupada through his books and his followers, and I've learned from him about my actual identity as a pure spirit. I am a resident of the spiritual world, the kingdom of divine love. I am an individual who is completely separate from the gross and subtle body. I've been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships Radha and Krishna. I will no longer ever be alone. I know that there's only Radha and Krishna. I know that there's only Radha and Krishna. No one else.
Hare Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Lord Krishna had in his message told the gopis three things. The first was, I'm always with you, just like the elements, earth, water, fire, and ether are never separated for someone in this world. They are always there. German air, and American air, Indian air, always the same air. Then he had said that if you feel the separation, know, if you still feel the separation, know that if you meditate about me, you will very soon reach me. The gopis must have thought about. Actually, these were basically two messages. The gopis must have thought about their relationship with Krishna. How when they were very young, they had first heard about Krishna from the elders. How later they actually met him at various occasions. Most significantly, the Rasa dance at the bank of the Yamuna. And as they listened to these messages, they finally felt so much strong feelings of separations that they totally ignored Uddhava and turned towards Mathura and chanted He Nata, He Rama Nata, Prajanata Tinashana, Maknam Udara Govinda, Gokulam Vichinanavad. Everybody, please. He Nata, He Rama Nata, Brajanata, Nashana, Makna Mudara Govinda, Mudara Govinda, Gokulam Vrijinanavad, Gokulam Vrijinanavad. O Master, O only Master, O Master of the Goddess of Fortune, O Master of Braja, O Destroyer of all suffering, O Govinda, please lift your Gokul out of the ocean of distress in which it is presently drowning. You can find this most beautiful shloka in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, 47th chapter, text 52. You know, when Uddhava heard, first he had observed the reaction of the gopis, he had heard what they said, and now he was there watching as they all had turned to Mathura and called out for Krishna. When he heard this, he became so influenced by this that he stayed 6 months in Vrindavan. He had no time to go back. And in this 6 months, where he studied the feelings of the Brajbasis, he discovered a total new dimension of bhakti. Actually, he became so influenced by what he heard and saw that he wanted to stay in Braj. He wanted to give up his Kshatriya aristocracy, and he wanted to only bathe in the dust of the gopis. For that end, he pronounced the most dear verse of Vaishnavas, one of the very dear verses, which we will hear tomorrow. For now, I wish you to take with you just one little point from this. Why are the gopis, what is so special in their love? Remember, what ingredient is there that pulls Krishna? Mamata, yes, the feeling that you are mine, my Lord, my Lord. For us who are beginners in the path, we can think of Sambandha, our relationship to Krishna. We had discussed with our neighbors about this, and we can also, as we enter devotional service, which will bring us closer to Krishna, think, this is for you, my Lord. No, this I'm performing for you. And as we do this, our heart will become softened with some feelings for Krishna, and as a result, we are on the most blissful road of Vrindavan. I thank you very much. It is not possible to take questions at this moment because we all need to be quite focused now. Prashanta will tell us why and what we will do so that we can all really have the retreat still going on strong on the fourth day also, and don't miss anything. Yes.